Our present conference is on Christ-like charity. We have been covering the three basic virtues that Father Gerald urges on priests to practice. And in our reflections, we apply Father Gerald's teaching to priests to ourselves. Because although not all the faithful have received the sacrament of orders, but all the faithful have been baptized, and therefore we all participate profoundly in the royal priesthood of Jesus Christ. We heard that the fundamental virtue of the spiritual life is faith, and with special emphasis, faith in the Holy Eucharist. We further saw that if faith is the foundation of the spiritual life in the mind, we believe with the intellect. Humility is the foundation of the spiritual life in our wills. However, there is one more virtue that crowns the spiritual life of all of God's chosen ones, and that is selfless, Christ-like charity. My plan for this conference is to cover three aspects of our subject: charity as friendship, charity as generosity, and charity as zeal. And all the while, even though we are drawing on the writing of Father Gerald, where he stresses the need for these virtues in the ordained priests, participating as we all do in the priesthood of Christ by our baptism, we all need to examine our consciences and, with God's grace, cultivate charity as friendship, as generosity, and as zeal. What is charity as friendship? Charity as friendship is selfless love. You see, if we can love other people and love them sincerely, but not love them with a completely selfless motive, we look beyond our practice of charity. What am I getting out of my loving others? Friendship is, first of all, selfless love. Friendship shares with others. And that sharing means everything that according to God's will he wants us to. If need be, deprive ourselves in order to enrich another. And I would say, the single deepest possession that we have, that we are to share with others, is ourselves. Remember the statement of our Savior, speaking to his disciples. I no longer call you strangers, but friends, because whatever I have learned from my Father, I have told you. Of course, prudence and supernatural wisdom must measure, and if need be, control how much we share with whom, when, pardon me, what time of the day. But the essence is there. Friendship shares. We go on. Not only is friendship selfless love, not only does friendship share, but friendship meets the deepest need of human nature. We are social beings, created after the image and likeness of God. And God, listen, is a social being. There wouldn't be a God, there could not be a God, who was one person. We need others. We want others to care in the Word. True, selfless charity means sacrifice, giving up for the one that we love. And what applies to priests, we may apply to all of us. The only question we should have is, what do other people need? Provided I know they need whatever I have, I go out on my way, at no matter what price, to myself to provide. Here's Father Gerald's observation. To be the friend of Christ involves being a friend to those around us, even when that is inconvenient from an earthly point of view. If we are to love our neighbor as Jesus loves us, we must love him even when our neighbor is not lovable. That is the wonderment of divine love. That is the foundation of our existence, to love and give ourselves and expect nothing in return. As we close our reflections on charity as friendship, we should remind ourselves that if the need to be loved by others is the deepest hunger of the human heart, when that hunger is not satisfied, we experience loneliness. And there is nothing more pathetic than a lonely person in a crowd. In other words, if we're going to follow the example of Jesus Christ, who told us to love others as he has been loving us, it means, and how critical this is, and if I said nothing else, what I will share with you in the next few minutes, all these conferences, I think, would be worth giving. There is, in modern society, a deep, painful loneliness. Loneliness among God's priests. How well I know. Loneliness among religious. Loneliness in the family. Loneliness in today's crowded, bulging society. People in Manhattan can have been dead statistically 2 weeks in their apartments before anyone even finding out. This charity as friendship applies, let me emphasize, to all of us. In other words, it is our responsibility to first recognize loneliness when we see it, and then in our desire to give ourselves, share with those whom we recognize as lonely what they need in order to believe that even the God who made them still cares. Listen, on earth, the clearest evidence we have of God's love for us is when we find other people loving us in spite of our notorious, embarrassing unlovableness. Second reflection, charity as generosity. When we say that charity is generosity, we are identifying charity on its highest level. Or, as the Church teaches us, generosity is the perfection of charity. Watch this. Charity is ready to meet the needs of others. Generosity finds the needs of others. And let me tell you, the deepest needs of people, they do not express. Either because they don't want to, or I believe mainly because they cannot express in human language what they need. Generosity is sensitive to the least need of others. Not only is generosity the perfection of charity in seeking out the needs of others, but generosity, enlightened by faith, knows that most people's wants are not their real needs. Generosity is charity that costs, and in many ways the highest cost of generous charity or charitable generosity is to keep this selfish mind off myself. We don't even have to look it up in the dictionary what the adjective thoughtful means. We know it cannot mean a person who is full of thought about himself. And this takes effort. This takes grace to have my mind filled with the needs of others. Charity can be sporadic, on again, off again, or in nice weather, how kind people can be. Generosity is constant charity. Generosity is enduring charity, because the highest price that we have to pay, I'm judging by my own experience, the highest price we have to pay for our generosity is the endurance from those toward whom we are generous. I'm learning every day, and what a lesson. Lord, but I've done so much for this person. Yes, the Lord says, I know. Are you telling me, Lord, that I can hardly believe it, that this person who owes me so much is so unkind, so crude, may be so cruel to me, Lord? Am I still to love? We go on. Charity, if it's genuine, is friendly. How weak our English vocabulary. Charity, if it is true charity, is generous. But this charity is also, and this is the peak, authentic charity is zealous. We might say, to bring this third category into focus, when I speak, my one main concern, besides trusting that I'm telling what Christ wants me to say, my main concern is to be clear. Father Gerald distinguishes two kinds of charity, even as generosity. The first type is still generous and gives itself unstintingly to meet the needs of others. But, and this is Father Gerald's vocabulary, it is still concerned about one's own welfare. Whereas charity as zeal is not only generous with all the qualities of generosity that we've described, but charity as zeal chooses the cross in his love for others. Why? Because that's what Christ did. But listen, Christ chose the cross in order that by the cross he might redeem the world. In other words, charity of zeal must be enlightened by a deep faith which sees that each one of us is meant in God's providence to be the means of grace to those whose needs we seek to meet. In a word, charity is zeal when charity is apostolic. And over the years, as I must have told you people many times, my favorite description of the apostolate is the communication of grace to others. This is the way Father Gerald puts it. There are good souls, but the good souls whose goodness is very well concerned with their own immediate peace and happiness. They belong to God. They abide in God. But they do not sacrifice much to God. They are pleasing to God. They are acceptable to God. They belong to God. But they are not on the cross with Christ. At most, they are bearing witness from a distance. But there are other souls who deliberately draw close to the cross of Christ. And even by the generosity of their spirit and the persistency of their sacrifice, invite our Lord to come down and let them take his place on the cross. This is real. And every time I come to this area of the spiritual life in my teaching, giving retreats, or writing, I say to myself, all the words I can use will be lost on the desert air unless those who hear the words are beginning with myself hearing my own words, have experienced what it means to love. And the verb is to love the cross. The most dramatic example we have of this kind of charity of zeal is the traumatic experience of Saul of Tarsus. Father Gerald never tires presenting to priests, to religious, and to the lay faithful the model of the converted soul as the example we should follow. Says Father Gerald, there was first of all the man himself, Saul, on whose ardent nature the Lord decided to build the edifice of his grace. What is characteristic of Paul and what we need today to stem the terrible tide of worldliness that is sweeping in on the church. Oh, Father Gerald, prophetic words. What the church needs, I continue with Father Gerald, is this energetic approach. St. Paul was a man of energy. He was not big physically, but he was big in the sense of the flaming intensity of his soul. Whatever he would do intensely when he started to persecute the church. He did it intensely. When finishing up to cleanse the Christians in Jerusalem, he was on his way to Damascus to bring them back for trial. He would have made a crusading district attorney. Unquote, Father Joel. Let me go on. This charity of zeal, I repeat, is not only self-giving in friendship. He is not only generous in seeking out the needs of others. When charity becomes zeal, it is a burning fire that drives the soul to heroic heights in order to spend oneself totally and bringing souls to the Master. In entering the life of Paul, Christ did more than convert a persecutor into an apostle. What Christ did was to change the whole focus of Saul's life. Father Gerald, from that moment, the moment Saul was knocked off his horse, literally, on the way to Damascus, that most startling and most redeeming revelation of divine love dominated this man. Would to God, I am still quoting Father Gerald, would to God that the same had been true and was true of every priest. Still, Father Gerald, what would stop the conquest of the Holy Spirit if every priest was Pauline in his spirit? What would stop us? Think of the agony of the Sacred Heart, who can find so few priests who go all out for him, their God, who goes out, all out for us. One of the saints at Father Gerald was especially fond in quoting or referring to was the Curia of Ars, St. John Vianney. And, as you know, for much of the Curia of Ars' life, he was not possessed, but obsessed by the devil. The devil was unhappy. Said the devil to the curé, if there were three more priests like you in the world, my kingdom would be destroyed. Father Gerald is urging on priests to imitate the Curia of Ars in their zeal for souls. The Church today, and within the Church especially, our present Holy Father never tires repeating, pleading with bishops, with priests, with religious, with the laity, to be burning with apostolic fervor to win souls for Christ. I sometimes ask my students, would you know how many Catholics were in Africa at the turn of the present century? Most of them can only make a wild guess. So I tell them, about 1 million. The 1987 figures. 57 million Catholics in Africa, and almost all of them brought to the one true Church out of the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ by the laity. It is 14 years now that I have been teaching every week Mother Teresa's Sisters, the Missionaries of Charity. Every convent that I've seen, she tells me, every convent in the 63 countries where they are located, behind the tabernacle, in the front of every chapel, is a big crucifix. And always, under the right arm of Christ on the cross, are the two words, I thirst. And the Church understands that to mean, I thirst for souls. And I want you bishops, you priests, you religious, you lay people, mothers, fathers, even children, to satisfy my thirst by doing everything in your power to win souls. Says Jesus, to my Sacred Heart. Before these conferences are over, we will spell out, I assure you, in detail, how this charity as apostolic zeal is to be put into practice. And you won't have to write a book or preach a sermon. Among the apostolates, there is none more effective than the apostolate of patient, loving, suffering for souls. Lord Jesus, we believe you are infinite love become incarnate. We know that your principal message to your followers was the mandate of charity. Enlighten our minds, dear Jesus, to see where we are failing in our practice of charity as friendship. Where we are failing in our charity as generosity. Where we are failing in our charity as zeal. So that, coming to our senses and practicing friendly, generous, and zealous charity in this life, we may enjoy your company with all the saints who are in heaven only because in this life, they had loved. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.